This morning I'd like to share from Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And assembling all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea. For so it is written by the prophet, 'And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod summoned the wise men secretly and ascertained from them what time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word, that I too may come and worship him." After listening to the king, they went on their way, and behold, the star that they had seen when it rose went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. Then opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by another way. This morning, Gail shared with us during her devotions in Sunday school about Norris the Schnauzer. And as you know, a dog has come into my life and taken up much of my time. Gracie couldn't tell which gifts were hers, so she tried to eat all of them. That was her approach to Christmas morning. Now, I'm a relatively new dog owner. This is a new thing for me. And I'm finding that I get many more trips to the great outdoors than I used to get in the past. And over the summer, it wasn't too bad. I'd be outside multiple times a day with the dog. But, you know, it was warm. It was sunny. Even in the evening, you know, it would stay sunny until 9 o'clock at night. It wasn't so bad. But now, in midwinter, I have to go through quite a process to take Gracie outside. I have to put on my hat. I have to put on my gloves. I have to put on my coat. She waits by the door to get her leash on her. Then we go outside, and it's dark. We go out a few times in the evening. It's very dark, and sometimes it's very cold. And we go on our little walk so that Gracie can take care of her needs. And sometimes we'll go near the woods by the house. And in that darkness, her little paw will come up off the ground, and she'll start pointing at something in the dark. And she'll start growling, and she'll start barking at the darkness. And I tell Gracie, you know, "Gracie, everything's okay. There's nothing out there." But as we're making that walk back to the house, I have a tendency to look over my shoulder. Because maybe she was right and I was wrong. But then we get in the house, I lock the door, turn out the outside lights, and we forget all about what we just experienced. Now, most of us have some fear of darkness. We have night lights to help us with this. We keep lights on outside the house to make sure it's not too dark around the outside of the house. And maybe you've had this experience as well. But have you ever watched a scary movie before bed and then find it awful hard to walk past a dark room? That dark room doesn't bother you any other time, but right after you watch that movie, it makes you a little nervous. You get this feeling of unrest. You get a feeling of tension. And in some way, you prepare yourself to defend yourself against an unknown, an unseen enemy, something that might be in that room. But usually, we have just enough light that we can see the proximity of the light switch. We have an idea where the light switch is, and we can flip it on. We have just enough to get around. Well, Tim shared a scripture this morning from Isaiah chapter 60. And it said in that passage, "For look, total darkness covers the earth, and total darkness the peoples. So this isn't one of those almost total darknesses where you kind of have a vague idea where the light switch is. This is total darkness. It's so total that we can't make our way about in it. We look around and we can't see anything. This is what Isaiah is describing in this passage. So he describes the world as being in total darkness, the peoples being in total darkness. And then here we are with all these lights and the light coming in from the outdoors. And we wonder, what is Isaiah talking about? This total darkness around the world and this total darkness that surrounds the peoples. He's talking about sin. He's talking about sin that is so pervasive in our lives and so pervasive in our worlds that it creates a total darkness for us. It creates a situation in which we do not have belief in God, in which we don't trust God, in which we reject God. It is absolute separation from God. It is absolute disobedience from God. And what is the result of this disobedience and this lack of trust? We see it throughout the world in the grief that people suffer through, the misery that people live in, and the fear that everyone feels. This separation from God causes us to have a longing. It causes us to have a longing to find meaning in life. You often hear people talk about, I want to find meaning in life. What is the meaning of life? And we get to a new year, the year 2011, and we make resolutions. This year I will quit smoking. This year I will lose weight. This year I will make peace with my family. This year I will read my Bible. And what happens? We do pretty well for a few days. We might do pretty well for a few weeks. But more often than not, a month into it, a few months into it, we've lost our way. We fail to keep up. And it's when we look inside ourselves for answers, when we want to find that meaning for life, meaning of life within ourselves, when we resolve to do things in an attempt to find meaning, we find that the answer is not there. The answer is not within us. We may momentarily find an answer that we like. We may momentarily find something that gives us hope for a moment. But there is a voice that continues to gnaw away at us. A voice inside of us that says, is this it? Is this it? Why am I here? Does anybody really care about me? Does it matter? And when we hear stories of someone in our community taking their own lives, I'd suggest that these are questions that they are asking themselves. They despair because they can't find the answer within themselves. Is this it? Why am I here? Does anybody care? Do I matter? So in order to not despair, we then have to look somewhere else. Because we don't find the answer within ourselves. We are forced to look outside of ourselves. And the world offers up all sorts of possibilities for us. The world will offer up wealth. The world will offer up material goods. The world will offer up fame, reward. It will offer up rewards for ambition. The world offers up this idea that you can make your own decisions and choices. And the world even offers up all forms of religion to help us to find meaning to these questions. Is that it? Why am I here? But over and over and over again, these false idols fail us and they fade away. If you think back over your many years, I think I just had my 40th New Year celebration, and I think back, what was important in 2006? I don't remember. What in the media? I don't remember. What was important in 2010? I see quizzes at the end of the year that say, test your knowledge of the news in 2010. I don't remember what happened at the beginning of 2010. Things come and go. The world fades away. Things that were important to us a year ago may not be important to us now. And so Isaiah says, total darkness covers the earth, and total darkness the peoples. And I was trying to imagine total darkness. What would this be like? Imagine that you were in a locked box along with everyone else and all the things of this world. And there's no lights in this box. It is as black as the blackest night. Your own thoughts, your own logic, your own reason, none of these things can pierce this total darkness. You are in a darkness that you cannot see anything in it, see at all in. All that everyone else offers to you cannot pierce the darkness. There's nothing you can do about it. There's nothing the world can offer to you that will do anything about it. For a brief moment, you may occasionally think that you see a light in the darkness. There's something that you pin your hopes to, but it fades away to nothing, and you find yourself in total darkness again. And over 2,000 years ago, God's people longed for the coming of a Messiah who would break through this darkness. He would rescue them from this darkness. He would reach in to this locked box. He would reach into this world that is totally dark and lead his people out into a new and a glorious life in which there would be no more sorrow. There would be no more pain. There would be no more grief or misery. And that is what the people of Israel, God's people, expected would happen. But there was a whole world around Israel living in darkness, living without hope. But just to the east of Judea, in Persia and Babylon, there were wise men there, also searching for an answer to this darkness, an answer to these questions of meaning in life. And much like today, these wise men would have looked to dreams. Can I find the meaning of life in my dreams? They would have looked to astrology. Can I find the meaning of life in horoscopes? They would have looked to their own wisdom. They would have looked to the wisdom of man. They would have looked to magic. And they would have even looked to the study of all kinds of sacred writings, looking for an answer. What is the answer? Why am I here? They hoped to find the answer to the question of the meaning of life. Now, an interesting thing takes place in Babylon. If you think back in history, you realize that the Jews had been there. They had been there a long time. You had Daniel. You had Shadrach. You had Meshach. You had Abednego. You had these men of great, great faith who rose to leadership positions within Babylon hundreds of years before this time. And these men of faith shared what they believed with the people of Babylon. They demonstrated in their lives what they believed. They proclaimed it. They testified to it. They lived their faith out. And the influence of these men resonated throughout the ages, the hundreds of years following the time that they are there. And so these wise men are actually familiar with the prophecies that we have within our Old Testament. And there's a particular prophecy that maybe really spoke to them. A star shall come out of Jacob, and a scepter shall rise out of Israel. Balaam says this in Numbers 24:17. And so these men are looking to the sky, and what do they see? They see a star like no other, a light that is piercing the darkness, something that has never been seen before. So, with their attendants and with their guards, these men set out, and they travel at least 40 days to find the one that Balaam prophesied about. The one that the people of Israel proclaimed to the people of Babylon. They had heard the testimony in Babylon, and they set out to find this one that was testified about. Initially, they go to Jerusalem, and they go right to King Herod, because they're expecting, hey, if we're going to find a king, we're going to find the king in Jerusalem. That's where the king will be. And we know that Herod was a very evil ruler. We're told of many terrible things that he did. He had an intent to kill anyone that stood in his way. And what does Herod do? Herod points him to Scripture. It's a really fascinating thing. He says that he basically gets his sharp guys together. They get out their Bibles and they say to the wise men, "And you, O Bethlehem in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." And after listening to the king, the wise men went on their way. And behold, the star that they had seen when it rose went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. Then opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. For these wise men, they didn't find their answers in their astrology. They didn't find their answers in their dreams. They didn't find it in magic. They didn't find it in the religions of the world. Their darkness, their total darkness, was pierced by the Word of God. The star motivated them to look. They saw the star and they looked. But they only found their way to Jesus through Scripture. We are surrounded by total darkness. And when we rely on ourselves to find a way in that darkness, what happens? We go astray. We're still just really wandering around in the dark. We're in that locked box, wandering around. And someone might give us a little piece of hope, but that someone is right there in the locked box with us. When we place our hope in the false lights of the world, that make us feel even temporarily like we have some control over the darkness, we will end up in despair because those lights will fade away. What the world offers us will fade away. Our own thoughts, our own reason will find flawed and lacking. It will fade away. But praise God, we remember the rest of what the prophet Isaiah says to us. Isaiah says, "Darkness covers the earth, and total darkness the peoples. But the Lord will shine over you, and his glory will appear over you. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord shines over you." The wise men followed the word in their journey through the darkness, even when they weren't sure where that word was going to lead them. They had faith. They believed in God's word. And so we come to another new year, the year 2011. And we have a tendency to think of New Year's as a new beginning. We have a chance to start over. We don't seem to think of April 16th is a day to start over. We always think in terms of January 1st. We're going to make it to January 1st. My son received a devotional from his grandparents as a gift. And it must have been about a month ago. And he said, "Well, I'm waiting until January 1st. And I said, "Well, why don't you start now? I mean, there's no reason why you can't start December 1st. But he started January 1st. And yesterday, when he wasn't coming down for lunch, Christy finally growled at him. And he comes down the steps and says, "I was reading my devotions." It was a new beginning for him. And you can't argue with that. We like new beginnings. That's why we resolve to do things. Consider the year 2010. What happened in your life? Could you have planned for it? When you look back over the last 365 days, could you have planned for everything that happened? We probably planned for some things and got it right. And there were many more things that we couldn't have planned for. We didn't know what was coming. So in 2011, can we really think that we can plan it out and figure out all the steps that we need to take? There's no way for us to know where God is going to take us. And if you look at the wise men, you realize in the end, they didn't put their faith in what they thought. They didn't put their faith in the things of the world or what the world told them. They put their faith They put their trust in God's work and who God is, the character of God. So here's a challenge for you for 2011. Step out of the darkness and into the light. Step out in faith. Step out in full confidence in God's promises. And when you do that, plan to be constantly surprised. You might remember the faith heroes chapter of the book of Hebrews. It's Hebrews chapter 11. There's a whole list of names of people who stepped out in faith. Abraham didn't know where he was going, but God said, step out in faith and go there, and I will bless the world through you. What did Abraham do? He stepped out. You don't read a whole lot about all the plans that he made. There was no step-by-step plan. He just went because God told him to go, and he trusted God's word. God comes to Sarah and says, Sarah, you're well beyond the age of bearing children, but you are going to conceive. And she did. Moses steps out in faith over and over and over again, not knowing where God is going to lead him, but he steps out of the darkness into faith anyway. The people of Israel cross the Red Sea. They step out in faith. And that chapter mentions many, many other people who stepped out in faith. They had no guarantees. They had no plans that they could put in place. God told them to step out. They trusted God, and they stepped out. They stepped out of darkness and into faith. They didn't require a step-by-step plan before they acted on what God said. They stepped out, and they did it continually, depending on God. And Gail spoke this morning about her resolve for 2011. She wants to walk closer with God, and she encouraged us to walk closer with God. She encouraged us to get to know God better. How? Through His Word, through prayer, through fellowship with one another. Get to know God better. It's not that we need God to give us the step-by-step plan. It's that we just need to know God better and trust Him more fully. There's a hymn that says, many things about tomorrow I don't seem to understand, but I know who holds tomorrow, and I know who holds my hand. It's not the steps that are important. It is that relationship, that trust of God that is important. God holds our hand. God holds tomorrow. Arise, shine, and step out of the darkness and into your light, Jesus Christ. He is the light that shines in the darkness. Arise, shine, the prophet says, for your light has already come. We know the darkness can be overwhelming. We know the darkness can be scary. There are many threats that we cannot see. Throughout 2011, all of us are going to be faced with problems, big ones and small ones. We do not know what tomorrow brings. We don't know what's going to happen 5 minutes from now. And that fear can cause us to look for answers in ourselves. It can cause us to hide in that darkness. It can cause us to look into the world and try to find solutions for the fear that we feel. But there is only one true light given to us by God for the forgiveness of sin and for life abundant in Him who is the light. The book of John opens with these words. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. Verse 5 says, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Arise, shine, rejoice every day in what God has done for you. Step out in faith. Trust in God's promises, for your light shines in the darkness. Amen.